Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of The Curse of Camp Cold Lake, which looks suspiciously like Camp Crystal Lake, and there's a boat in the background with a deceased but somehow still alive head rising out of the water as if R.L. Stein pulled a Drake and just told his ghostwriter, like, hey, you know what? Just watch Friday the 13th 1 and do something cool with it. It's either bright blue or bright purple, but some of us ain't so good with colors, so I'm not sure which one it is. And the little quote on the cover says, last one is a rotten ghost, which is really fucking phoning it in. Ghost doesn't rhyme with egg. That's ridiculous. What's new? I don't know. Wedding planning is difficult. That's all. We started doing that stuff. I think I might meet Nick, who was on the last episodes, in Vegas this weekend, but I gotta figure that out. Because I ain't got no damn money, but if I can crash on his hotel floor and get free flights through sweet, sweet Geo, then maybe I could do that. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Everything's cool. I'm good. I've been swimming a lot. I got a new dumb tattoo of the Tommy Bahama logo with the little marlin on it that says relax, but above it, instead of Tommy Bahama, it says TVN 1998. And, yeah. Oh, while I do this, I'm going to you know, like, after each chapter, I just do a little pause just for the sake of catching my breath and not sweating and everything else, as it's like 85 in San Diego today. But I'm going to be doing or answering the email questions for an interview with Strange Kids Club magazine, which will appear in their October issue. So if you want to read an interview with old Drunkle Stiltskin, you pick that up in October. I'll probably remind people when closer to then. And I don't know. I don't have much else to say. I'm just keeping it real. Maybe I'll try to work out the question answers here prior to doing it. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Point is, chapter one of the Camp Crystal Lake That's Not Crystal Lake deal by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I got off to a bad start at Camp Cold Lake. I was nervous when I arrived, and I guess I did some dumb things. Just like any freshman girl going to college, and she's like, I don't care about my boyfriend back home. He can date Stacy if he wants to. I'm going to kiss as many boys as possible. And then she's pregnant and out of college, and your mom, oh! Well, I didn't want to go to a water sports camp. Wait, water sports is when people pee on each other, right? I remember being a kid, and like one of the first times I went to, like, a porn site. I was like, doing shady stuff here. And I was just, like, looking at it in amazement. And there was a section that said water sports. And I was like, ah, yeah. It's going to be pictures of girls and boobies and bikinis. I can get into this. And then I clicked on it. I was like, ah, it's people peeing on each other. Click out. Oh, God. So that's my experience with the word water sports. I don't like to be outdoors. I hate the feeling of grass brushing against my ankles. I don't even like to touch trees. And I certainly don't like getting wet. Well, you wouldn't like Andrew W.K. because he gets wet without even trying. Sure, I like to go swimming once in a while, but not every day. That makes one of us. I've been swimming a lot. What's the point of that? It's relaxing. I like to swim in a nice, clean pool. My pool's full of pee. It's not my pool, but my complex is. Also, the pee is all mine. I took one look at the lake here, and I was sick. I knew there had to be horrible things swimming around in that water, like trout. Ugly creatures wading below the surface like Chilean miners, thinking to themselves, Sarah Moss, we're waiting for you. Oh, I'm glad it's a girl after all my comments. Sarah, we're going to rub our slimy bodies on your legs when you swim. And we're going to chew off your toes one by one like a diabetic who can't put down Mountain Dew. Yuck! Why do I have to swim in slime? because this book was written in the 90s, and everyone was getting slimed. Oh, that Nickelodeon. Of course, Aaron was so excited. He nearly exploded. When we climbed off the camp bus, he was jumping up and down and talking a mile a minute. He was so crazed. I thought he was going to burst out of his clothes and go running into the lake. If you did that now, you'd be on a sex offender list for the rest of your life. My brother likes camp. He likes sports and the outdoors. He likes just about everything and everyone. And everyone likes Aaron. He's so enthusiastic. He's so much fun. Yeah, because he's not all uptight about lake monsters that don't exist. Hey, I like to have fun too. But how can you have fun where there are no malls, no movie theaters, no restaurants to get a slice of pizza or a bag of French fries? Yep, she's gonna get diabetes. And no malls? What the fuck is up with malls? All I ever think of with malls is when I was, like, in junior high, and I was still all awkward. I was awkward always about, like, stuff with, like, girls and stuff, and, like, admitting things and talking things. And my buddy was, like, who, like, wasn't in my circle of friends because he wasn't fucking punk rock. He was like, yeah, I'm going to the mall this weekend. I was like, why are you going to the mall? Because the mall sucks. Like, the mall sucks now, too. And he's like, just going there to pick up chicks. Like, what the fuck? Pick up chicks? What does that even mean? Obviously, he is not getting laid. What the fuck? What? Anyway, goddamn, this is going to be the longest chapter ever, and I don't even have Nick here. How can you have fun up to your neck in a freezing cold lake every day? In a camp miles from any town, surrounded on all sides by thick woods. This is going to be awesome, Aaron declared. Dragging his duffel bag, he hurried off to find his cabin. Yeah, awesome. I muttered glumly. Sorry, my mouth's all dry. The bright sun was already making me sweat. Do I like to sweat? Of course not. So why did I come to Camp Cold Lake? I don't know, probably to cool down? That seems like a reasonable place to go if you're sweating. I can answer that in three words. Mom and Dad. You could have answered in one word, parents. That's a shortcut. They said that a water sports camp would give me confidence. They said it would help me more comfortable with the outdoors. And they said it would give me a chance to make new friends. Okay, I admit it. I don't make friends easily. I'm not like Aaron. I can't just walk up to someone and start talking and kidding around. I'm a little shy. Maybe it's because I'm so much taller than everyone else. I'm a whole head taller than Aaron. And he's only a year younger than I am. He's 11. I'm tall and very skinny. Sometimes Dad calls me Grasshopper because he's racist. Guess how much I like that? About as much as I like swimming in a cold lake filled with hidden creatures. You shouldn't hate on hidden creatures because Highlights magazine made an entire career based around those. Be a good sport about it, Sarah, Mom said. I rolled my eyes. What a bitch. Give camp a chance. Dad added, I didn't know he was quoting John Lennon at the time. You might surprise yourself and have a good time. I rolled my eyes again. When you come home at the end of summer, you'll probably beg us to take you camping, Dad joked. Dude, their parents are gonna fucking bang while the kids are gone. Damn! I never went to camp and now I feel bad for my parents so they couldn't bang. But, you know, I moved out when I was 19. Now I'm 29. I'm sure they've done plenty of banging. Good for them. I want to roll my eyes again, but they were getting tired from all that rolling. I gave my parents a glum sigh. Quick hugs, then I followed Aaron onto the camp bus. He grinned the whole way to camp. He was really excited about learning how to water ski, and he kept asking everyone if the camp had a high diving board over the lake. Aaron made three or four good friends on the bus ride to camp. Wow, he's a player. I wish I didn't say that. I don't know why. I stared out the window, watching the endless blur of trees and farms, thinking about my lucky friends who got to stay home and hang out at the mall. God, I wish there was a mall camp. Then, here we are at Camp Cold Lake. K kids pulling their bags off the bus, laughing and joking, counselors in dark green t-shirts greeting everyone, pointing them in the right direction. I began to cheer up a little bit. Maybe I will make some new friends, I thought. Maybe I'll meet some kids who are a lot like me, and we'll have a great summer. But then I stepped into my cabin and saw my three bunkmates. I looked around, and I let out a cry. Oh, no! No way! And that concludes chapter one. The first question on this interview from Dan at the Strange Kids Club is, hey, Dan, thanks for what we're doing. Dan reads Goosebumps. First of all, let's talk about you. Who are you, and what do you do? What a fucking existential question. Who am I? I don't know. Sometimes I, like, do hallucinogens, and I think that I'm, like, everyone, and we're all, like, together, and I don't know. Would Tumblr? Tumblr would say that I'm just a cis, white, heterosexual, monogamous male, and that's, like, the worst thing you can be. Am I just the worst you can be? Who am I? I'm just a drunk in love. I love my girl, and I love my pets, and I love my podcast. No, I don't. Fuck, maybe I'll answer all this later when I'm sufficiently drunk from recording this. Because I don't know who I am. Maybe I'll skip that. Maybe I'll ask someone who knows me to answer who I am, because I don't know. Chapter number two. It's the second chapter. I guess I shouldn't have freaked like that. It made a very bad first impression. But what was I supposed to do? There were two bunk beds in the cabin. The other three girls had already chosen their beds. There was only one bed left, right in front of the window. And the window had no screens. Because there'd be bugs. Because I was like, at first, it's like a window view. It sounds nice. But no, whatever. Which meant that my bed would be crawling with bugs. I took one glance, and I knew I'd be swatting mosquitoes every night for the whole summer. Besides, I can't sleep in a top bunk. I toss and turn a lot at night. If I slept on top, I'd fall on my head. I'd straight up Humpty Dumpty myself, motherfucker. I had to sleep on the bottom. In the bed against the far wall, away from the open window. I can't do this! I blurted out like someone who was cuckoo bananas. My three bunkmates turned to look at me. One had blonde hair pulled back in a ponytail. Near her was a short, chubby girl with long brown hair. In the bottom bunk against the wall, an African-American girl with long cornrows stared across the cabin at me. I guess they wanted to say hi and introduce themselves, but I didn't give them a chance. Someone has to trade beds with me, I cried like a demanding bitch. I didn't mean to sound so shrill, but I was really upset. Before they could answer, the cabin door swung open. A sandy-haired young guy in a dark green camp t-shirt poked his head in. I bet it was just like it said the camp name on it. It wasn't a camp shirt in the Tommy Bahama sense, but, you know, I'm pretty into the Tommy Bahama scene, apparently. I'm Richard, he said. I'm the boss guy, the head dude. What a douchebag. Everything okay in here? No, I cried. I couldn't stop myself. I was just so nervous and unhappy. I can't sleep in this bunk, I told him. I don't want to be near the window. And I need to sleep on the bottom. I'm such a bitch. I'm so demanding. How can anyone be friends with me? The answer is they can't. I could see that the other girls were shocked by my outburst. Richard turned to the girl who was sitting on the bottom bunk against the wall. Brianna, would you like to trade beds with this bitch? Sarah, I told him. Would you like to trade beds with Sarah? Richard asked Brianna. She shook her head so hard, the beads in her cornrows rattled against each other. I really don't want to, she said softly, as Dune hesitated, wondering if he wanted to do a super racist voice. She pointed to the chubby girl with long brown hair who sat on a camp truck. Meg and I were bunkmates last year, Brianna told Richard, and we kind of wanted to be together. See, it's a weird time where we can make fun of people for being fat, But we can't make fun of people for being black. But we kind of, because it's so normal, can make fun of people for being gay. Like, I make fun of my gay friends because what they do, come on, it's weird. It's weird ass sex. Literally ass sex. And then, but we can't make fun of transgendered people. I just want to make fun of everyone. Meg nodded. She had a round baby face, squirrel cheeks out to here. There's no indication of where here is. And she wore blue and red braces on her teeth. Ah, if she brushes well, it's probably red, white, and blue, but realistically, it's probably, you know, red, yellow, and blue. I can't sleep in front of a window, I insisted. I can't. I hate bugs, and the incubus will come. Richard stared hard at Brianna. How about it? Brianna groaned. All right, let the baby have her bottle. She made a face at me. Thanks, Richard said. I could see he was studying me. Yeah, because he's a guy that voluntarily wants to be around children. Of course he's studying you. He probably thinks I'm a real troublemaker, I thought. Brianna climbed down off the bottom bunk. She dragged her duffel bag across the room to the bunk by the window. It's all yours, she muttered, and then she added, started from the bottom, now I'm here, while motioning towards the top bunk. Another Drake reference. She didn't say it in a friendly way. I felt bad. My bunkmates already hated me, I thought. Why do I always do that? Why do I always get nervous and start off on the wrong foot with people? Now, I've got to try really hard to make them my friends, I decided, but a minute later, I did something horrible. All right, let's go to the next interview questions. What can you tell me about Dune Reads Goosebumps? What's it all about? I get drunk and I read Goosebumps. I mean, that's what I do. Like, what do you mean, what's it all about? It's straightforward. It's weird. There's no reason for me to do it, but I do it. Where can I find this show to listen to? The best place is if you just Google, like, archive.org Dune Reads Goosebumps. There's, like, a legal torrent in there, and you can download them all or stream them directly. That's by far the best place, because the site hasn't been updated in a while and doesn't really work well for some reason. That's my fault. What's the show's release schedule like? Ah! good one. Release schedule. All right. Good stuff. Let's go on to the next chapter.
Chapter number 3.
Release schedule. Hey, thanks for trading Brunks, Brianna, I said. That was really nice of you. She nodded, but didn't say shit. Meg pulled open her trunk and started shitting on the floor. Like, junk in the trunk is in butt? But she, forget it. She pulled open, like, an actual trunk and started shoving shorts and t-shirts into her dresser drawer. The girl smiled at me. Hi, I'm Janice, she said. She had a raspy, hoarse voice. That is a Friends reference. That Janice. Everyone calls me Jan. I would do the voice, but it'd hurt my throat, and then I'd give up. Jan had a nice smile. She had her blonde hair pulled back in a ponytail. She had dark blue eyes and red cheeks. She seemed to be blushing all the time. She probably had a bunch of rouge on, like a 17th century whore. Were you here last summer? I asked her. She shook her head. No. Brianna and Meg were here. By the way, it's weird because I was just at my girlfriend's work, and she only works with, I don't know, 1, 2, 5 other people, and 2 of them are named Brianna and Meg. I went swimming with Brianna last night. That was fun. Anyway. Brianna and Meg were here, but this is my first summer. I went to tennis camp last year. I've never been to any kind of camp, I confessed, like Dune did earlier. I guess I'm a little nervous. Are you a good swimmer? Brianna asked. Well, that's weird, as I just said I went swimming, but I guess not, because they're at the pee-pee camp. Anyway, I shrugged. Pretty good, I guess. I don't swim much. I don't really like it. Meg turned from her trunk. You don't like to swim, and you came to a water sports camp? Brianna and Jan laughed. I could feel my face grow hot. I didn't want to tell them that my parents made me come to camp. That just sounded too geeky. I didn't know what to say. I like other things, I stammered. pointing to one nostril, indicating that I like to party. Oh, I love that swimsuit, Brianna declared. She pulled a bright yellow swimsuit from Meg's trunk and held it up in front of her. This is excellent. Meg tucked it back. Like it would really fit you, she muttered, rolling her eyes. Her braces clicked when she talked. Ew. Meg looked a little like a bowling ball next to tall, graceful Brianna. By the way, I like that Brianna was just trying to be nice to the girl that's like chubby, and the chubby girl just got all angry and defensive.
I'm just a big girl. I say what I want. I say what's on my mind. Sometimes guys find that intimidating.
She was one of those girls. Did you lose weight over the winter? Brianna asked her. You look great, really, Meg. I lost a little, Meg replied. She sighed, but I didn't get any taller. I grew about a foot this year, I chimed in. I'm the tallest girl in my school. Everyone stares at me when I walk through the halls. Boo-hoo, Meg said sarcastically. Wow. It's about to be like, how are there two bitches in here? But then I'm like, wait, all girls are just bitchy to each other, right? I think I brought this up on the last one, but I liked the explanation. I think it was on a tweet. I don't know. I have nothing to reference it, but that women say nice things to each other and don't mean it, and men say mean things to each other and don't mean it. That just stuck well, because I'm always like, hey, fag, to my bros, and I'm like, what are you doing? All right, let's go take a nap together, bro. That's only happened like twice, so it's not like a constant. Never mind.
Boo-hoo, Meg said cuntily. You've got it tough. Would you rather be a shrimp like me?
Well, not really, I replied. Oops, I realized it was the wrong thing.
I saw a flash of hurt in Meg's eyes. Why did I say that? I asked myself. Why do I keep putting my foot in my mouth?
I picked up my backpack from where I had tossed it on the floor. I carried it to my bunk to unpack it.
Hey, that's mine. Put it down.
Jan came rushing over to me. I glanced down at the backpack.
Nah, bitch, it's mine, I insisted.
I started to unzip it, and it fell off the bed. A whole bunch of things fell out and clattered across the cabin floor.
Oh!
I cried out in surprise. The stuff wasn't mine.
I saw pill bottles, medicine jars, and little plastic inhalers.
Tight! I like this girl. She likes to party. Hook me up with some of them pills, and I don't know what a medicine jar is, but I'll take like an eighth of that. And the little plastic inhalers? Isn't that what Aphex Twin made a song about? Give me one of those two.
Asthma medicine? I cried.
Jan dropped to her knees and began gathering it all up. She glared up at me angrily.
Thanks a bunch, bitch, she growled. Thanks for letting the whole world know I have asthma. Why don't you stand up at the campfire tonight and announce it to the whole camp?
Sorry, I murmured weakly.
I told you it was my backpack, Jan snapped.
Meg bent down and picked up an inhaler for Jan.
Having asthma is nothing to be ashamed of, she told Jan. Maybe I like to keep some things to myself,
Jan snapped. She shoved all the medicine into the pocket and grabbed the backpack away.
Sorry, I said. Really?
All three girls glared at me. Brianna shook her head. Meg,
they hate me already, I thought. Yeah, no shit.
You opened up the girl's bag of medicine, you walked in and started yelling about a bunk, and then, like, kind of more or less snitched on them to the camp counselor that they weren't moving, even though you hadn't said a word to them. You are a bitch.
Anyway, I felt sick, really sick. They hate me, and it's only the first day, the first hour.
With a sigh, I slumped down on my bunk. No, that's Brianna's bunk, bitch.
Can things get any worse? I wondered.
Guess the answer to that. Speaking of answers, let's see what the next question on here is. Or next couple. I'm just going to breeze through them.
Where did this idea to read Goosebumps for the Masses come from?
I don't like working with other people. If I'm going to spend time doing a podcast, I'd rather it just be me. I don't like editing stuff. I don't want to edit other people's stuff. I don't want to try to coordinate things. It's really just because it's hard dealing with human beings. Were you a big fan of R.L. Stein and or the Goosebumps books growing up?
No.
No, I wasn't. That's the truth. I've already talked about this on here, but it was just an idea to read these books. I had only read maybe one or two before we started this. I referred to myself as a wee. It's me and my dick. Oh, Dune rules.
Chapter number 4.
Later that night, we had our first campfire. It was built in a wide, flat clearing near the woods. Smooth logs were placed in a circle to be used as benches. Franklin, please stop being a dick to the cats. I dropped down on an empty log with my back to the trees.
Never turn your back on the trees.
Flames from the big fire danced brightly against the gray evening sky. The fire crackled and popped. It smelled so sweet, I took a deep breath.
Don't breathe in smoke from fires. Isn't that how most people die in a house fire?
I guess the second most common way is burning to death. They don't ever bring up that one.
Counselors tossed more sticks in the fire. Soon, the flames rose up over their heads. The night air was hot and dry. My cheeks burned from the heat, tossed off by the fire.
Who was tossing off by the fire? Just kidding.
I turned away and gazed into the woods. The dark trees shivered in a light breeze. In the gray light, I saw a squirrel dart between tall weeds.
Tall weeds? I think that means that it's an indica. Is that what that means? One of them's tall, one short. I don't care.
I wondered what other animals lurked in the woods. I imagined there were bigger animals than squirrels in there. Bigger and more dangerous. A loud pop from the fire made me jump. It's creepy outside at night, I thought. Why can't they have the campfire indoors, in a fireplace or something?
That's not a campfire. It's just a fireplace fire. You're an idiot.
I like a good campfire, bonfire outside. We do a lot of that in the old Sherman Heights. Not where I live, but where I used to live. I slapped a mosquito on my neck. When I turned back to the fire, I saw Brianna and Meg on another log bench. They were laughing about something, talking to two girls I didn't know. I saw Aaron on the other side of the flames. He was goofing with two other guys, possibly tossing off. They were wrestling around, trying to shove each other off the log.
That's some American Gladiator shit right there.
I sighed. Aaron has already made a bunch of friends, I thought. Everyone has made friends but me. Aaron saw me staring at him. He waved quickly, then turned back to his friends. On the next log, three girls had their heads tossed back. They were loudly singing the camp song. I go hard in the motherfucking paint, nigga. Leave you stankin', nigga. What the fuck you thinkin', nigga?
I assume that the camp song is Hard in the Paint by Waka Flocka Flame. That's all.
I listened carefully, trying to learn the words, but they had a giggling fit halfway through and didn't finish the song. Two older girls sat down on the other end of my log. They looked about 15 or 16. I turned to say hi to them, but they were busy talking. One of them had a bag of gummy worms in her hand. She kept pulling them out of the bag, one by one, and slurping them slowly like spaghetti noodles.
Oh, is she going to turn out to be a monster and they're real worms? We'll find out, won't we?
Richard, the head counselor, who makes $18,000 a year, stepped in front of the fire. He had a black basketball cap turned backwards on his head. His baggy shorts were torn and dirty from working on the fire. He raised both hands over his head. Are we all here? He called out. I could barely hear that motherfucker. Everyone was still talking and laughing. Across the fire, I saw Aaron standing up, wiggling his whole body in a funny dance. His friends were laughing their heads off. One of them slapped Aaron a high five.
Can we get started? Richard called out. What a dick. Because Rich, never mind.
Can we start our welcoming campfire? A log cracked in the fire. Red embers shot up all around. Ow! I let out a cry as a hand grabbed my shoulder.
She didn't say ow, she said oh, sorry.
I spun around startled and stared up at Brianna and Meg. They leaned over me. In the darting firelight, I saw their frightened expressions. Sarah, run! Brianna whispered. Get up quick! Meg tugged my arm. Run! Why? What's wrong? I sputtered.
Should we check on the interview questions? What should listeners expect when lending an ear to the show? Disappointment. I have to say that one of my favorite, that's in all caps, things about the show is the quote-unquote adult improv added into the reading. Why add this mix, or this to the mix? Oh, that's the only question that I legitimately have an answer to. Like I said in a long time ago in an episode, that the show is Dune Reads Goosebumps. It's not Goosebumps. Read by Dune. It's my show. I do whatever the fuck I want. I make commentary. That's the whole point of the thing. It's not like a making Goosebumps audiobooks. I think they did a couple of those on cassette a long time ago. I invented a genre. That's one of the few things I have to claim in life. I invented the genre of bootleg audiobooks with commentary. Ain't no one did that before me. 7 billion people. Fucking Dune did that shit. Hop up out the bed, read my Goosebumps, took a look at my beer and said, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up? That was a Soldier Boy song. Soldier Boy. Chapter number 5. I jumped shakily to my feet. What's wrong? Those boys, Meg whispered. She pointed across the fire. They threw fireworks in the fire. It's gonna explode. Run! Both girls cried. Meg gave me a shove to get me started. I stumbled and then lurched forward. As I ran, I shut my eyes tight, expecting the blast any second. Could I get away in time? Were Meg and Brianna escaping too? I stopped short when I heard the laughter. Shrill, gleeful laughter. God, I hate the laughter of children. Huh? Swallowing hard, I turned my back and saw half the camp laughing at me. Meg and Brianna slapped each other a high five. No, oh, fucking no. God damn it, I murmured. How could I fall for such a dumb trick? Wait, how's that a dumb trick? Isn't it better to always run when you think your face is about to get exploded? Whatever. How could they play such a mean joke on me? It wasn't that mean. It's like, hey, there's fireworks, run. And you're like, okay, I'll run. That's a reasonable response to this situation. They must have told everyone to watch. As I stood at the edge of the clearing by myself, I could feel all the eyes on me like a Tupac album. And I could hear kids laughing and making jokes. I saw Jan laughing, and I saw Richard and some of the other counselors grinning and shaking their heads. I know. I know. I should have laughed too. I should have made a joke of it. But because you're a bitch, you probably didn't. I shouldn't have let it upset me. But the whole day had been so terrible. I was so nervous and so eager not to make any more mistakes. I could feel my shoulders start to shake up and down. I could feel tears welling up in my eyes. No, I ordered myself. You cannot cry. Don't cry. You cannot allow yourself to cry in front of the whole camp. Sure, you feel like a total jerk, Sarah, but so what? It was just a joke, just a dumb joke. I felt a hand on my arm. I pulled away. Sarah. Aaron stood beside me. His dark eyes were wide in the shadowy evening light. I'm okay, I snapped, but I wasn't okay like the first My Chemical Romance single. Go away! You're such a bad sport, he said softly. Why can't you ever let things slide off you? It was just a joke. Why go nuts over a dumb joke? You wrote this now, Arlstein, but there was a comedic paper in France where they drew Muhammad and then they got killed. I mean, it was a joke, but some people don't like jokes. That's why they go see Larry the Cable Guy. Do you know what I really hate? I really hate it when Aaron is right. I mean, he's my younger brother, right? What right does he have to be the sensible, calm member of the Moss family? It really steams me when Aaron comes on like the older brother. Comes off? Do you mean comes off? Because it says comes on. And that's a weird thing when he seems much older. More experienced. Do I need your advice? I snarled. Such a bitch! She realizes she's wrong. Take a hike. I gave him a shove toward the campfire. God, I hope whatever creepy thing on that cover fucking humbles her and makes her just be a nice, good person instead of just this crazy bitch. He shrugged and hurried back to his friends. I crept to the bonfire. I didn't go to my old seat. It was too close to the fire and too close to Brianna and Meg.
I dropped down on the edge of a log near the woods. Outside the glow of the fire, the darkness cooled me and helped to calm me down. Richard had been talking for a while. I realized I hadn't heard a word he said. Teachers. He stood in front of the crackling fire. He had a deep, booming voice, but everyone leaned in to hear him better. I gazed around the circle of campers. Their faces glowed orange in the bright firelight, as if they were the cast of Jersey Shore. Their eyes sparkled. I wondered if anyone would be my friend. I knew I was feeling really sorry for myself. I wondered if any other new campers felt the way I did. Richard's voice droned on in the back of my mind. He was saying something about the main lodge, something about the meal schedule. Then he began talking about towels. I started to pay attention when he introduced the head waterfront counselor. Her name was Liz.
You should call her Lizbian because she's a camp counselor and stuff. Like, she's probably gay. Lizbian, that's good stuff. You can have that, Sarah.
Everyone clapped when she stood up beside Richard. One of the boys gave a loud wolf whistle.
I'm not going to do that because I was drinking water. I'm just telling you why.
She's awesome, another boy called out. Everyone laughed. Lizbian grinned too. She knew she looked really awesome. She wore tight denim cutoffs and a dark blue midriff top. She waved for everyone to get quiet.
Wait, she's the one girl from Wet Hot American Summer that Paul Rudd's into? By the way, it's weird that I'm reading this one. Well, it's not weird. It was suggested by someone on the Facebook. And I really wish I could remember her name right now, but I don't want to look it up. But thank you very much. I appreciate it. And, or who it was in general. Maybe I do know their name. Anyway, Wet Hot American Summer series just came out on Netflix. I don't know. I watched the first episode last night. Whatever.
Are you all having a good time? She called out. Everyone cheered and clapped. Several boys whistled. Here's me doing the thing where you put like a peace sign in your mouth and whistle.
That's what it sounds like when I try.
Well, tomorrow will be your first day at the waterfront, Lizbian announced. And before you go in the lake, there are lots of water rules we want you to know. Like, don't drink the water, Richard chimed in, unless you're very thirsty. Some kids laughed. I didn't. The thought of drinking that disgusting, slimy water made me sick. Liz didn't laugh either. She frowned at Richard. We need to take this shit seriously, she scolded.
I was serious, Richard joked.
Liz ignored him. When you get back to your bunks, you will find a list of water rules in your bed, she continued, brushing back her long, frizzy red hair.
Wait, they're all hooting and hollering at the girl with frizzy red hair?
Damn, what a world. There are 20 rules on the list, and you need to know all of them. Huh? 20 rules, I thought. How could there be 20 rules? Doesn't the Bible only have 10? It will take all summer to learn 20 rules. Liz held up a sheet of paper. I'm going to go over the list with you now. If you have any questions, just call them out. Can we go swimming now? A boy shouted like a fucking douche. You're not funny, dude. Don't interrupt. We're all trying to get this shit over with. Don't be that kid. Lots of kids laughed. Don't encourage him. But Liz didn't crack a smile. That's rule number 8, she replied. No night swimming, even if the counselors are with you.
Steel reserve.
Don't ever swim with counselors, Richard joked. They have germs. Yeah, they're called STDs, and you get them from being rad, okay? Leave it alone. Richard is pretty funny, I thought. He seems like a good guy, but Liz seems so serious. The sheet of paper fluttering in the wind. The sheet of paper fluttered. The paper's fucking moving. She gripped it with both hands. Her red hair caught the glow of the fire. The most important rule at Camp Cold Lake is the buddy system, Liz announced. When you are in the lake, you must always have a buddy. That way, if someone drowns, someone else will drown too. And then we can just get rid of a whole bunk instead of having one bunk where no one's on top or bottom. It just makes sense.
She glanced quickly at the campers seated around her. Even if you are only wading in up to your ankles, you must have a swimming buddy with you, she said. You may have a different buddy each time, or you may choose a buddy for the whole summer, but you must always have a buddy.
Franklin, you always have a buddy in Daddy. I cry.
She took a deep breath. Are there any questions?
Will you be my buddy? A boy shouted, clearly erect.
Everyone laughed. I laughed too. The kid's timing was perfect. But once again, Liz didn't crack a smile. As waterfront counselor, I will act as everyone's buddy, she replied seriously. Now, rule number two, she continued, never swim more than 3 boat lengths from one of our safety boats. Rule number 3, no shouting or pretending to be in trouble in water. No horseplay, because horses can't swim. I learned that from the ring. No kidding around. Rule number 4. She talked on and on, reading off all 20 rules. I groaned. She talks to us like we're 5-year-olds, I thought. And there are so many water rules. Let me repeat one more time about the buddy system, Liz was saying, gazing past the fire. I could see the dark lake, smooth and black and silent. The lake has tiny waves, no current, no dangerous tides. So why are there so many rules? I wondered. Why are they scared? What are they scared of? Why are they scared? Dune reads Goosebumps. Let's see, what other questions this guy asked me? What do you say to those who don't get the humor and are mad about it not being a true word-for-word reading? I don't know. Fucking fuck off. You can read what they say. I guess he wants what I say to them. I don't talk to them. If they don't listen, they don't communicate with me. They post on iTunes, and I sometimes read it because I find it funny when they're like, I just want to hear a Goosebumps story. I don't want to hear what you're drinking. First off, it's important to hear what I'm drinking. You want to know what the flavor of my mouth is. And second off, fucking don't listen to it. Buy a Goosebumps book, idiot. This is something different. This is me. Jabronis. All right, we'll see what the next question is after this chapter.
Chapter number 6.
Liz talked for at least half an hour. Richard kept cracking jokes, trying to make her laugh, but she never even smiled. She talked some more about every rule on the list. Then she told us to read the list carefully when we got back into our cabins. Have a safe summer, everyone, she called out. See you at the waterfront. Everyone cheered and whistled again as Liz stepped away from the fire. I yawned and stretched my hands over my head. This was really boring, I thought. I never heard of a place having so many rules.
Have you ever been to America? There's a law for everything. Some places you can't even vape.
I swatted another mosquito on my neck. I started to feel really itchy. Probably because I'd been at the camp for almost a day now and the dope was wearing off. That's what being outdoors does to me. It makes me itch like crazy. The fire had died down. A blanket of purple embers glowed on the dark ground. The night air grew cool. To end the campfire, Richard told everyone to stand and sing the camp song. You new campers probably don't know the words, he said. You're lucky. Everyone laughed. Then Richard began to sing, and everyone joined in. I tried to follow along, but I couldn't catch all the words. I picked up pieces of the song.
Wetter is better. Get in the swim, show your vigor and vim. Every son and every daughter should be up in the water. The cold, cold water of Camp Cold Lake.
That's the song. I didn't even add anything to it. I'm just letting you know.
Yuck! I agreed with Richard about the words of the song. They were so lame. Why didn't they mention, like, trapping and lean and, like, bitches, like, good songs? It was all just like, meh, 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 meh. Fucking ridiculous. Gazing across the fire, I saw Aaron singing his heart out. He seemed to know every word already. How does he do that shit? I wondered, scratching my itchy legs. How does he manage to be so perfect, to fit in everywhere? As the song ended, Richard raised his hands for quiet. I have a few final announcements, he called out. First of all, none of you can carry a tune! Because y'all fuckers don't sing good. You guys are idiots. You're voted off. You're not going to Hollywood, jabronis. Second, I didn't hear the rest. I turned to find Brianna and Meg standing beside me. I took a step back. What do you want? I snapped. We want to apologize, Brianna said. It was hard to see her in the dark. Meg nodded. Yeah, we're so sorry about playing that dumb joke on you. Richard's voice droned on behind us. Brianna put a hand on my shoulder. We got off to a bad start, she said. Let's start all over again. Okay, Sarah? Yeah, let's start fresh, Meg agreed. A smile spread over my face. Great, I said. Excellent. Excellent, Brianna repeated, smiling too. She slapped me on the back. A fresh start. Richard was still making announcements. Tomorrow, at 4:30, those interested in windsurfing... Aaron will probably try that, I thought. I watched Brianna and Meg walk away. A fresh start, I thought. I began to feel a lot happier. The happy feeling lasted about 2 seconds. Then, my back started to itch. I turned to the fire and saw Brianna and Meg staring back at me. They were both giggling. Other kids had turned away from Richard and were watching me. Ugh, I groaned when I felt something warm wriggle against my back. Something warm and dry moving under my shirt. It moved again. I reached one hand back and poked it under my shirt. What is it? What did Brianna put back there? I grabbed the thing and pulled it out and started to scream. That's actually how I met my fiance. I just grabbed my thing, pulled it out, and started to scream like, zip, foot, ah! And, you know, ladies dig that. It's a sign of dominance.
Chapter number 7.
A snake wriggled in my hand. It looked like a long black shoelace with eyes and a mouth that kept snapping open and shut. No! I totally lost my shit. I let out a shrill scream, and I heaved the snake with all my might. It sailed into the woods. What a wild ride for a little snake. I bet it enjoyed it. Just kidding, it probably broke its long-ass spine. My back still itched like crazy. I could feel it wriggling against my skin. I reached back and tried to snatch with both hands. Kids were laughing, telling each other what Brianna had done. I didn't give a shit. I just wanted to rub away the feeling of that snake against my skin. My whole body tingled. I uttered an angry cry. How could you? I shrieked at Brianna and Meg. What is your problem? Aaron came hurrying over to be the grown-up again. Just what I needed. Mr. Mature Kid Brother. My brother had a kid brother. He was never more mature and still isn't. Sarah, did it bite you? She asked softly. I shook my head. I can still feel it! I wailed. Did you see it? It was about 3 feet long. Calm down, Aaron whispered. Everyone is staring at you. Think I don't know that? I snapped. Well, it was just a tiny snake, Aaron said. Totally harmless. Try to get yourself together. I sputtered. I was too upset, too fucking angry to talk. Aaron raised his eyes to Brianna and Meg. Why are those two girls picking on you? I don't know, I wailed. Because they're creeps. That's why. I think I'm going to send a screen cap of that to the old fiance, because she's at work right now with Brianna and Meg. Well, try to calm down, Aaron repeated. Look at you, Sarah. You're shaking all over. You'd shake too if you had a disgusting snake crawl up and down your skin, I replied. And I really don't need your advice, Aaron. I really don't.
Speaking of advice, my buddy called me, or Kevin. Ah, fuck. Should I say Kevin? Fuck, I already said Kevin. Anyway, he's like, yeah, you know, I took your advice in this situation that's big and important. I'm like, my advice? Fuck, I only take my girlfriend's advice. I don't take mine. I make horrible decisions. By the way, I'm drinking more Steel Reserve.
And I don't need your advice, Aaron. I really don't. Fine, he replied. He spun away and hurried back to his friends. I don't believe him, I muttered. Dad is a doctor, and Aaron is just like him. I have a friend named Aaron. Or did? I don't know. Are we still friends? Maybe I'll try to text him and ask him. That'd be very uncomfortable. Who's actually about to be a doctor? Like, he's like, I think he's doing his residency now. Jesus. He's in way more than me with his life. He thinks he has to take care of everyone in the world. Stupid Aaron. Aaron, my friend, was, first off, he's fun to make fun of only because he's so much better than everyone. Like, he's like half black, so he has like that cool half black guy look. He was the quarterback of the varsity football team and also the valedictorian with the highest GPA. And also just nice and funny and cool. So it's like, it's just bizarre. Like, I don't know. It's just one of those people you're like, fuck, if I impregnate the old fiance, somehow I want it to be Aaron, even though she's, what, Sicilian and Irish, and I'm Italian and Scottish, so the kid's just going to look exactly like us. The point is, he's a good guy, and if you get him as a doctor, you'll be happy about it. Except for, don't ever let him hear Nutella. Don't. Point is, I just talk shit to him because I'm pathetic. He thinks he has to take care of everyone in the world. Well, I can take care of myself. I don't need my little brother telling me to calm down every second. Richard was still talking, but I didn't care. I stepped away from the campfire and circled back to the cabin. A path curved through a patch of woods. Up the sloping hill where the cabins were perched, away from the glow of the fire, I was surrounded by darkness. I clicked on my flashlight and aimed the yellow circle of light at my feet. My sneakers crunched over dry leaves and twigs. The trees whispered above me. Look at that bitch. She claims to be the victim, but she brings it upon herself. She really needs therapy, they whispered. How did I get off to such a bad start? I asked myself. Why do Brianna and Meg hate me so much? Maybe they're just mean, I decided. Maybe they're total creeps. Maybe they're mean to everyone. Yeah, maybe they're mean to everyone that randomly walks in their room, demands they change places, and just yells out of nowhere, and then throws people's medication on the floor. They think they're so hot because they were at camp last year. Without realizing it, I had wandered off the path. That's how I feel about my life. Hey! I swung the flashlight around, searching for the way back. Brooms! The light swept over tilting trees, tall clumps of weeds, and a fallen log. Panic tightened my throat. Where is the path? Where? I took a few steps. My sneakers crunched over the leaves, and then my foot sunk into something soft. Quicksand! Oh, there's no fucking way it's quicksand. God damn it. What's the scariest thing that's happened to me since starting the show? I lead a pretty safe life. You know? I know that some of the books are read by some amazing guests. Who all has lent their voice to your recordings? This rad kid who I haven't talked to in years. And then Sam to the Skills with a Z. And then Nikki Sleaze. And I think that's it. Right? Is that all the people that have guested? It's not like they're celebrities, but they're cool dudes. I like them. I talk to them all the time. Chapter number 8. It's the 8th chapter.
8. No, not quicksand. Of course not quicksand. Is that even a real thing? Isn't it just in movies from the 80s?
and 70s and shit. Anyway, there's no such thing as quicksand. Oh, that's what I said. I remembered that from some science book I read in fifth grade. Yeah, well, I remember that from, I don't know, me probably being on crack or something. I don't know. I lowered the flashlight. Oh, mud. Thick, gooey mud. My sneaker sank deep into the ooze. I pulled my leg up with a groan and nearly toppled over backwards. I remember when I was a kid being up in Mammoth in the summer and going on some weird walk, and there was like a pile of mud I stepped in, and being how disgusted I was, like, where I stepped into it, tried to get my foot out, and was wearing like 90s skate shoes, which, by the way, you should be able to walk on water in 90s skate shoes, because they're pretty much little boats. But anyway, I put my feet in, and like pulled it out, and my little like, ES or Etnies or whatever I was wearing were just stuck embedded in the mud, and I had to walk back with one sock on or something, or a shoe full of mud. I don't remember. I just remember the disgusting feeling. Anyway, it's just mud, I told myself. It's disgusting, but it's no big deal. But then I saw the spiders and knew the acid was kicking in. Dozens of them, the biggest spiders I ever saw. There must have been a nest of them in the mud. They were crawling over my shoe, crawling up the leg of my jeans. Ah, fucking gross! Dozens of spiders clung to me. I shook my sneaker hard. Then I began batting at them with my free hand. I hate this camp! I screamed as if I were at Auschwitz. I beat some spiders away with the flashlight. And then I had an idea. I mean, why shouldn't I pay Brianna and Meg back for what they did to me? They embarrassed me in front of the whole camp. And I hardly did anything to them. See, you don't want revenge. You want to be nice to them. Be like, hey, I'm sorry about everything. I was kind of a bitch yesterday. I made you guys some scones. I snuck into the kitchen. I hope you like scones. I don't know why I came up with scones. I emptied the batteries from the flashlight. I took a deep breath. Then I bent down and scooped a bunch of spiders into the flashlight. Yuck. I felt sick. I really did. I mean, can you imagine me handling spiders? But I knew it would be worth it. Soon, I filled the flashlight with the squirming black spiders that looked like the enchanted soot creatures from Spirited Away. Then, I screwed the top on like a cheap bottle of wine. I stepped over a fallen tree trunk, found the path, and carried the flashlight carefully. I eagerly hurried to the cabin. I stopped outside the door. The lights were on inside the cabin. I peeked in through the open window like a pervert. No sign of anyone. I crept inside. I pulled up the blanket on Brianna's bed. Then I emptied half the spiders onto her sheet. I carefully pulled the blanket over them and smoothed it out. Probably suffocating and killing the spiders. Spiders breathe, right? Is that a terrible question? I was pouring the rest of the spiders into Meg's bed when I heard a shuffling noise behind me. Oh no! LMAFO! They're behind me and shuffling! Quickly, I pulled Meg's blanket back into place and spun around. Jan stepped into the cabin. What's up? She asked in her hoarse, croaky voice. Nothing, I replied, hiding the flashlight behind my back. Jan yawned. It's lights out in 10 minutes, she said. I glanced at Brianna's bunk. I left one corner of the blanket untucked. Brianna wouldn't notice, I decided. That's racist. I realized I was grinning. I quickly changed my expression. I didn't want Jan asking a lot of questions. She turned and pulled a long, white nightshirt from her dresser drawer. What did you sign up for tomorrow? She asked. Free swim? No. Canoeing, I told her. I wanted to be in a nice, dry canoe, not flopping around in the dirty lake with fish and other slimy creatures. Are you calling Brianna a slimy creature? You are fucking horrifying, Sarah. I do not like you. Hey, me too, Jan said. I started to ask if she would be my buddy, but Brianna and Meg came strolling through the door. They saw me and burst out laughing. What was that wild dance you were doing at the campfire? Brianna teased.
You looked as if you had a snake down your back or something, Meg declared like an idiot. They laughed some more. That's okay, I thought. Go ahead and laugh. In a few minutes, when you climb under your covers, I'll be laughing. I couldn't wait. Wait, if you'll be laughing, that's a clear giveaway that it was you, but I guess it's a giveaway it's you no matter what. Oh, well. If you could get anyone in the world to be a guest reader for an episode, who would it be? Gilbert Gottfried. How many episodes / readings are you up to now as of September 2015? It's not September 2015. I don't know what my schedule's like. You know, I just record when I can. I ain't got no schedule. I record, like right now I'm recording because the girlfriend's working way late today. She's working from like 9 to 9. I dropped her some coffee off earlier because I'm such a good dude. I'm allowed to keep saying girlfriend, right? Because fiance still feels weird. Anyway, point is, that's why I'm recording. Next chapter. Chapter number 9. A few minutes later, Jan turned out the lights. I lay on the hard mattress, staring up at Meg's mattress above my head, all fucking Orange is the New Black style. Grinning, waiting. Meg shifted her weight in the bunk above me. I heard her gasp, and then both Brianna and Meg began to scream. I laughed out loud. If only there was an abbreviation for that. But no, it's the 90s. There is not. I couldn't hold it in. It bit me! It bit me! Brianna howled. The lights flashed on. Help! Meg cried. She leaped out of bed. Her bare feet hit the floor hard. It sounded like an elephant landing. Wow. That was a fat joke that I did not add in. It bit me! Brianna cried. She and Meg were both on the floor now, dancing and wriggling, slapping at their arms, their legs, their backs. My arms, my legs, my something and my backs. I bit my lip to make myself stop laughing. Spiders! Spiders all over! Meg shrieked after 3 days without methamphetamine. Ow, it bit me too! She pulled up the sleeve of her nightshirt. Ow, that hurts! Jan stood at the light switch. I hadn't moved from bed. I was enjoying it all too much. You're a bully. Watch them squirm and dance. But Jan's words wiped the smile from my face. Sarah put the spiders in there, she told Brianna and Meg. I saw her messing around at your bunks when I came in. What a snitch. You're the snitch. I guess she was still angry at me because I spilled her asthma medicine. Well, Jesus. That put an end to the fun. I think Brianna and Meg wanted to strangle me. They both had to go to the infirmary and wake up the camp nurse. They had to make sure the spider bites weren't poisonous. What a bitch, she almost killed them with poison? How was I supposed to know what kind of How was I supposed to know that they were the kind of spiders that bite? I don't know, why not just not risk it? It was a joke, after all. I tried to apologize when they came trudging back to me from the nurse, but they wouldn't speak to me, and neither would Jan. Oh well, I sighed. They won't be my friends. I'll make other friends. Really? With that attitude? I don't think so. By the way, there's a drinking break here, which means new tall can of Steel Reserve. The next morning in the mess hall, I ate breakfast alone. The room had two long tables that stretched from wall to wall, one for boys and one for girls. Where is the one for transsexuals and gender fluid people? Okay. I sat at the far end of the girls' table and spooned up my cornflakes in silence. All the other girls were chattering away, like women do. Yep. That's not true. I talk way more than anyone. At the other end of the table, Brianna and Meg kept flashing me angry looks. I saw Aaron at the boys' table. He and his friends were laughing and goofing on each other and in each other. Aaron balanced a pancake on his forehead. Another boy slapped it off.
At least he's having fun, I thought bitterly. I had the sudden urge to go over and tell Aaron how unhappy I was, but I knew he wouldn't just tell me to lighten up. He would just tell me to lighten up, Jesus. So, I sat at my lonely end of the table and choked down my cornflakes. Did things get better when I arrived at the lake for canoeing? Three guesses. Yes? No? Somewhat? Those are my three guesses. Kids were already pulling their canoes off the grassy shore into the water. They all seemed to be paired up.
That sounds like a 70s sex term. I just associate camp with the 70s, obviously, because I didn't go, but just,
hey, I pulled my canoe into her grassy shore.
You know what I'm saying? Like sex, like sexual intercourse.
Liz walked over to me. Her white one-piece bathing suit glowed in the morning sunlight. She had her frizzy red hair tied behind her head. She let a silver whistle fall from her mouth. What's your name? She asked, eyes on the lake.
Sarah, I told her.
I signed up for canoeing, but you need a buddy, she said. Find a buddy. The canoes are over there. She pointed, then trotted away. Canoes splashed into the water. The slap of the wooden paddles echoed around the shore as if someone was into deep, deep BDSM. I ran to the stack of canoes, searching for a buddy, but everyone had already chosen partners.
It's like being single in your 50s, you know?
I was about to give up when I spotted Jan pulling a canoe to the water. Do you have a buddy? I called. She shook her head.
Well, can I come with you? I asked.
I don't think so, she replied nastily. Do you have any spiders with you to set loose?
Jan, please,
I started. Are you two together? Liz appeared behind us, startling us both. No, I, Jan started. I wanted to be her buddy, but she doesn't want to.
Snatching,
I said. I didn't mean to whine, but it came out that way. Jan made an ugly face at me.
It looked like my own face, and finally I saw what I looked like.
Get your canoe in the water, Liz ordered. You two are the last ones. Get it? Canoe? Last Mohicans?
No. All right, that was a leap. I'm sorry.
Jan started to protest.
Like those Occupy kids, they did a lot. Look at all that stuff the Occupy kids accomplished.
Then she shrugged and sighed. Okay, Sarah, let's go. We pulled on life preservers. Then I grabbed a paddle and one end of the canoe. We dragged it to the water. The little boat bobbed against the shore. The lake current was stronger than I thought. Low waves plopped steadily against the shore. Jan climbed in and took a seat in the front.
Thanks for embarrassing me in front of Liz, she muttered.
I didn't mean...
Okay, push off, she commanded. I tossed my paddle into the canoe. Then I leaned over and gave the boat a hard shove with both hands. It slid smoothly away from the shore. Then I had to wade out to it and pull myself inside.
Hey, that's like what I did with the kayak that I was in until I knocked it over and lost my phone.
Whoa!
As I struggled to hoist myself up, the canoe nearly tipped over.
You better not have no Nexus 6s in there.
Watch it,
Jan snapped. You're such a klutz, Sarah.
Sorry,
I murmured. I was so grateful to have a buddy. I didn't want any more trouble between us. I pulled myself into the canoe and dropped down behind Jan. The canoe bobbed up and down as we began to paddle. The rocking water sparkled like silver under the bright morning sunshine.
Rocking Waters was my favorite amusement park. That's a lie. It probably exists, though. I'd Google it, but I don't want to make clicky-clicky sounds.
It took us a while to find the right rhythm.
Yeah, we had three kids before the rhythm method worked.
Neither of us spoke. The slap of our paddles and the rush of water against the little canoe were the only sounds we made. The lake gleamed in front of us like a giant round mirror. I could see several canoes up ahead. Jan and I were far behind them. The rubber life preservers were hot and heavy. We pulled them off and dropped them to the canoe floor. We paddled steadily, not too fast, not too slow.
I know what steadily means, R.L. Stein. It's just a constant deal. You don't have to say that. I glanced back, like Lance Bass. The shore seemed miles away. I felt a chill of fear. I'm not that strong a swimmer. I suddenly wondered if I could swim all the way to shore from out here. Hey! As I stared back at the shore, the canoe suddenly started to rock! Yeah! Whoa! I grabbed the sides. I turned, and to my horror, Jan was standing up. Jan, stop! What are you doing? I shrieked. What are you doing? The little boat rocked harder. Bamf! That's what a guitar sounds like, apparently. It's also the sound that Nightcrawler makes when he teleports. I gripped the sides, struggling to steady it. Jan took a step. The canoe tilted. Water splashed over my feet. Jan, stop! I cried. Sit down. What are you doing? She narrowed her eyes at me. Bye, Sarah. All right, let's look at more interview questions. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. How many episodes? Oh, we already went over that. What does the future hold for when you run out of Goosebumps books? Can we expect a Fear Street series? Probably not, no. I'm getting older. I'm about to get married. I need to, like, save money and time. And I rarely have time to do this. And obviously time's valuable. And I'd be happy to record books. I'd be happy to record anything for money. But I can't imagine spending more time on this to make not that many people happy. Like, especially making me unhappy. So I figure I'll finish the original 62, and then I'll give yourself Goosebumps, and then I'll be done with these. And then from then on, I don't know. Maybe I should just do a podcast talking about my life. I don't think enough people are interested. But the point is, definitely not going to read a bunch more of this and not make any money and spend time and effort and all that shit. So, no. Chapter number 10. Ugh. The boat tilted more as she raised one foot to the side. She pulled off the t-shirt she had over her swimsuit and tossed it to the canoe floor. No, please, I begged. Don't leave me out here. I'm not a good swimmer. What if the boat tips over? I don't think I can swim back from here. You ruined my summer, she accused. Now everyone knows I have asthma, so they won't let me go on the 6-day canoe trip. Oh, that's why she was secretive about it. Oh, what a bummer. Fucking Sarah, she just fucks everything up. What's wrong with her? But it was an accident, I sputtered. And you're messing up everything for Brianna and Meg, too. Jan said angrily. No, wait, I started. I apologized to them. I didn't mean... She shifted her weight. Tilted the canoe the other way. Then, she shifted her weight again. Again. Again and again and again. That still always bothers me in songs when people rhyme. It's my pain and I'm feeling it again. No. It's your pain, you're feeling it again and you can't rhyme. Deliberately making the canoe rock! Deliberately trying to frighten me! Don't tip it over, Jan, please! I pleaded. She tilted it more, making it rock so hard I thought I'd tumble out. I'm really not a good swimmer, I repeated. I really don't think I... She uttered a disgusted groan. Then she tossed back her hair, raised her arms over her head, bent her knees, and kicked off hard, and dove into the motherfucking lake. No! I let out a cry as the boat rocked violently, like grindcore. Jan's dive sent up a tall, foamy wave of water. The canoe tilted. The canoe rocked, and then that motherfucker flipped over. I hit with a smack. Okay. Cold water rose up around me as I sank, frozen in shock. Frozen in rock! I felt the canoe bouncing above me on the surface. Then I started to choke as water invaded my nose and mouth. Sputtering and gagging, I thrashed my arms and legs, pushed myself to the surface, and raised my head over the bobbing current. Still sputtering, I sucked in a deep breath of fresh air.
Then another. I had to let those out so I can read. Floating on the surface, I saw the canoe bobbing upside down on the water.
She could just go underneath and use the air and then paddle along, because I saw it in a movie about pirates, and the pirates were in the Caribbean, and Johnny Depp was there.
I struggled to catch my breath, to slow my racing heart. Then I swam to the canoe. I grabbed onto it, wrapped one arm around it, held on for dear life. Bobbing with the canoe, I squinted into the sunlight, searching for Jan. Jan, Jan, I called to her. Jan, where are you? I turned and searched in all directions. A feeling of cold dread tightened my chest. Jan, 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 can you hear me? I shouted. Oh no.
I'll get to more Strange Kids Club's questions in a little bit. I'll probably answer them all truthfully and well-written and very drunk when I'm done with this. But we'll see.
This is the 11th chapter. I held on to the canoe with one hand and shielded my eyes with the other. Jan? Jan! I shouted her name as loudly as I could, and then I spotted her. I saw her blonde hair glowing in the bright sunlight, and I saw her red swimsuit, her arms moving steadily, smoothly. It was just describing Baywatch. Her feet kicking up foamy waves. She was making her way to shore, like so many blondes did in the 90s. Polly Shore, that is. Boom! She swam away and left me here, I realized. I turned and searched for the other canoes. Squinting against the sun, I could see them far ahead of me. Too far to hear my shouts. Maybe I can turn the canoe over, I decided. Then I can climb in and paddle back to shore. But where were the fucking paddles? I raised my eyes to the camp, and I saw Jan talking to Liz. She was waving her arms frantically and pointing out to the water, pointing at me.
She was probably being like, that bitch done tipped us over, and then everyone would be like, damn, she a bitch.
A crowd of kids gathered around them. I could hear excited voices, shouts, and cries. I saw Liz pull a canoe into the water. She's coming to rescue me, I realized. Jan must have told her I couldn't swim all the way back. I suddenly felt embarrassed. I knew all the kids on shore were watching me. I knew that they were talking about what a wimp I must be.
They're probably talking about what a psychotic bitch you are and that you tipped over the canoe. Which is untrue, but, you know, you deserved it.
But I didn't care. I just wanted to get back on dry land. It didn't take long for Liz to paddle out to me. When I pulled myself into the canoe, I started to thank her, but she didn't let me get a word out. Why did you do it, Sarah? She demanded. Excuse me? I gasped. Do what? Why did you tip the canoe over? Liz asked. I opened my mouth to protest, but only a squeak came out. Liz frowned at me. Jan says you deliberately tipped over the canoe. Don't you know how dangerous that is, Sarah?
Damn. Now I feel bad for Sarah. I know I already thought that everyone thought that she did, but it does suck, you know? Everyone wants to be loved.
Her is full of love. But. I'm calling a special camp meeting because of this, Liz said. Water safety is so important. The water safety rules must be followed at all times. Camp Cold Lake couldn't exist if campers didn't follow every rule. I wish it didn't exist, I muttered unhappily.
She's just the case of everyone being like, man, there's a misunderstanding, but I think this girl's a bitch. And then her being like, yeah, you think I'm a bitch? Well, let me do this super bitchy thing. That's not how you disprove it. Anyway, I'm rambling during a drinking break when I should be.
Drinking. So Liz held a long meeting in the lodge, and everyone at camp had to be there. She went over the rules of water safety again, rule by rule, and then she showed an endless slideshow about the buddy system
That was with capital letters, so it's serious. I sat way on the side and stared down at the floor. But every time I raised my eyes, I saw Brianna, Meg, and Jan glaring angrily at me. Other campers kept staring at me, too. I guess they all blamed me for this long, boring meeting. Jan probably told everyone in camp that I was the one who tipped over the canoe. God, and you know, like middle school age women. I guess they're not women. Let me start that for the third time. Middle school aged girls are the most manipulative, terrible, and abusive people on the planet. They're just evil. It's just they get the weird, like, pack, assert dominance, animal shit, and they just terrorize each other. And it's just miserable. No one has a good time in middle school. Anyway, I want you to memorize all 20 water safety rules, Liz was saying. More campers stared angrily at me. Everyone hates me, I thought, shaking my head sadly, and there's nothing I can do about it. Then, suddenly, I had an idea. Wait, wasn't your last idea fill a flashlight with spiders and dump it in people's beds so they like me? This probably won't go so well either. Chapter number 12. This is where all the paranormal weird shit should start happening. Cause it's established that everyone doesn't like her, so they won't believe her when she's right about evil shit. I'm going to run away, I told Aaron. Goodbye, he said calmly. Good luck. No, really, I insisted. I'm not kidding. I'm going to run away from this camp. Send me a postcard, Aaron said. I had dragged him away from the mess hall after dinner. I really needed to talk to him. I pulled him to the edge of the lake. No one else was down here. I think we're alone now. Everyone was still in the mess hall in the lodge. I glanced at the canoes, stacked in piles of three near the water. I pictured Jan's blonde hair, her red swimsuit, and instantly became aroused. I pictured her swimming away, leaving me in the middle of the lake, and became slightly less aroused. And then, lying to Liz, getting me in trouble. I shook Aaron by the shoulders. Why won't you take me seriously? I cried through clenched teeth. He laughed. You shouldn't shake a person after they've just eaten the camp of meatloaf. He let out a loud burp. You're so gross, I groaned. He grinned. It's a family tradition. Stop joking around. I mean it, I snapped. I'm really unhappy, Aaron. I hate this camp. There is no phone here that we can use. I can't call Mom and Dad, so I'm gonna run away. His expression changed. He saw that I was serious. He skipped a flat stone across the water and watched the nipples spread out, then disappear.
Hey, it says ripples, but I said nipples, but I actively said that on purpose because nipples is a funny word.
The lake reflected the gray evening sky. Everything was gray, like that one AFI album no one liked. The ground, the sky, the water, the aliens were even grays. Reflections of trees shimmered darkly in the gray water. Where are you gonna run? Aaron asked softly. I could see him quickly becoming the mature, wiser, that was in quotes, brother again. But I didn't care. I had to tell him my plan. I couldn't leave camp without letting him know. Through the woods, I said. I pointed. There's a town on the other side of the woods. When I get to the town, I'm going to call Mom and Dad and tell them to come get me.
You can't, Aaron protested. I stuck out my chin. Why not? Because they're banging. We established this at the beginning. All they're doing all summer is banging.
Just kidding. That's not what he said. He said, we're not allowed in the woods, he replied. Richard said the woods were dangerous, remember?
Yeah, but so did Dumbledore.
Is that the right word? Dumbledore? Dumbledorf?
Whatever. So did fucking Harry Potter, bro. I think I have a Harry Potter tattoo when I fucked all that up.
Oh, the joys of alcohol.
Point is, Harry went to the Forbidden Woods, and he found out that the teacher with a towel on his head...
No racist. His whole head was Voldemort, you know? So it's important to go out into there and go to the Forbidden Woods. That's my whole point. I don't live somewhere with woods, so it's confusing. It's not like there's a forbidden beach. There's a beach called Black's Beach, and that's where all the gay dudes go to troll for gay dudes, and it's like a nude beach. But, like, it's kind of forbidden, but, like, not really. Like, I'm sure they let you chill there, but, like, dudes, like, do stuff. Anyway, I shoved Aaron again. I was so tense, so angry. I didn't know what to do with my hands. I don't care what Richard said, I bellowed. I'm running away, remember? And Dune's gonna have a sip of his goddamn malt liquor. Give the camp a chance, Sarah, Aaron argued. We haven't been here a whole week. Give the place a chance. That's when I totally lost it. I hate it when you're so sensible, I screamed. That should be the argument of all women everywhere and just end every conversation. I hate when you're sensible and rational and reasonable. God damn it! I shoved him hard with both hands. His mouth flew open. He lost his balance and toppled into the lake. He landed on his back in the wet mud just past the shore. Oof! I heard the air shoot out of him, possibly a fart. Sorry, I started. It was an accident, Aaron. He scrambled to his feet, pulling up a greasy gunk and seaweed with him. That didn't go well. Shaking his fists, calling me all kinds of names. C-word, B-word, those kind of names. I sighed. Now even my brother was furious at me. What am I going to do? I asked myself. What can I do? As I trudged back to the cabin, another plan began to form in my mind. A really desperate plan. A really dangerous plan. Tomorrow, I murmured to myself, I'm going to show them all. Whatever this is, it's not a good idea. This girl doesn't make great decisions. Let's see. What other questions we got going on here? So why audiobooks? Are you a big fan of the medium? If so, what are some of your favorite audiobooks and narrators? I am a big fan of the medium. I like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series, read by Bilbo Baggins, that also played Arthur Dent, whose name's not coming to me, that's also in the British office. I like the Stephen Fry version of Harry Potter. I like the Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman by Feynman. I like, I don't know, I've read or listened to like hundreds of audiobooks. I spent a lot of time in my car. I'm really into the medium. I suggest everyone get into it. I like Dan Harmon's Hardcore History. I know it's a podcast, but I dig it. That's all. I like things. So, apparently Vegas plans are cemented. Flight's booked. Buddy knows what I'm getting in. Have a place to sleep. Going to Vegas for less than 24 hours in, what, a day and a half. Weird. Chapter number 13. I thought about my plan all the next morning. I was frightened, but I knew I had to go through with it. Like making beautiful love to a woman. Our group had free swim that afternoon. Of course, everyone had a buddy but me. I dug my bare feet into the muddy shore and watched everyone pair up and head into the water. Puffy white clouds floated overhead as if God were blowing flat clouds while vaping, reflecting in the nearly still water. Tiny gnats jumped over the surface of the water. I stared at them, wondering why they didn't get wet. Hey, bitch, let me tell you about surface tension. Sarah, it's swim time, Liz called. She hurried over to me. She wore a pink one-piece bathing suit under crisp white tennis shorts. I adjusted my swimsuit top. My hands were trembling. I realized I would... I really was scared by what I planned to do. Why aren't you swimming? Liz demanded. She brushed a fly off my shoulder. I don't have a buddy, I stammered. She glanced around, trying to find someone for me, but everyone was in the lake. Well, Liz twisted her mouth fretfully. Go ahead and swim by yourself. Stay close to the shore, and I'll keep an eye on you. Wait, I thought she specifically said that she's everyone's buddy. Not, I don't know, if I can drown, and if I see you, I'll
get you, but, you know, if not, whatever.
Great, thanks, I said. I smiled at her, then trotted enthusiastically to the edge of the water. I didn't want to guess what it was. I guess, Jesus, I need a drink. I've done that twice in a row. I didn't want her to guess that it wasn't going to be a normal swim for me, that I had something terrible in mind. I stepped into the water. Ooh, so cold. A cloud rolled over the sun. The sky darkened. The air grew cold. My feet sank into the muddy bottom of the lake. Up ahead, I saw the gnats, hundreds of them, hopping on the water. Yuck, I thought. Why do I have to swim with mud and gnats? Hey, mud and gnats were here first, and we're invading their land like the Native Americans. I took a deep breath and stepped out farther. When the cold water was nearly up to my waist, I lowered my body in and started to swim. I swam a few long laps. I needed to get used to the water, and I needed to get my breathing steady. Wait, is there a huge plan, speaking of breathing, to fuck with the asthmatic girl? Because that's not good. Fucking Yoda just took a shit. I'll finish this chapter, unless it smells too terrible to go on. A short distance away, Brianna and some other girls were having some kind of relay race. They were laughing and cheering, having a great time. Why doesn't he cover his shit? It smells terrible. They won't be laughing in a few minutes, I told myself bitterly. A tall spray of water rushed over me. I cried out. Another wave smacked my face. It took me a few seconds to realize that I was being splashed by Aaron. Aaron's her brother, just you know, reminding you, that's all. He rose up in front of me and spit a stream of water into my face. Ew, how much bacteria was in that water in his mouth? Yuck! How can you put this water in your mouth? I cried, like Dune already did. She owes me a Coke. At least an 8-ball. I cried, totally grossed out. He laughed and splashed away to join his buddy. He won't be laughing in a few minutes either, I told myself. He'll treat me differently after today. Maybe she got her first period. That's exciting. Oh my god, it smells terrible. What the fuck is wrong with that cat? He eats the same thing as the other cat, who I can't smell at all ever, and then he eats shit, and it's just... oh god, it smells horrible. Everyone will. I suddenly... Alright, I can't go on. I'm sorry. I have to pick up this shit. I can't even fucking breathe. Hold up. Okay, I'm back. How can something so loving defecate something that is so just filled with hate? It is appalling. That being said, blah, 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 blah. He's gonna think differently of her, and everyone will. I suddenly felt guilty. I should have told Aaron what I planned to do. I didn't really want to scare him. I wanted to scare everyone else. But I knew if I told my plan to practical, sensible Aaron, he would talk me out of it, or go tell Liz so that she would stop me. Well, no one is going to stop me now, I vowed, like Kanye. Have you guessed my desperate plan? I don't know, drop a chocolate bar in the lake and say someone's shitting there? It was really quite simple. I planned to drown myself. I plan that all the time. You're not lucky. Special? Whatever. Well, not really. I planned to dive down to the lake bottom, stay under a long, long time, and make everyone think that I had drowned. I can hold my breath for a very long time, like Guybrush Threepwood. It's because I play the flute, more specifically, the skin flute. I've really developed my lung power. I can probably stay underwater for 2 or 3 minutes, long enough to scare everyone to death. Everyone will panic. Even Brianna, Meg, and Jan. Still weird saying their names. Everyone will feel sorry for how mean they were to me. I'll get a new start. After my close call in the lake, everyone in camp will want to be nice to me. That's not how it works. Everyone will want to be my buddy. So, here goes. I took one last long look at all the laughing, shouting swimmers. Then, I sucked in the biggest breath I had ever taken and plunged down, down to the bottom of the lake. I was swimming last night with Brianna.
and the fiance and her best friend, and blew out all my air and was doing that thing where you sit at the bottom of the pool with all your air out and you're just sitting there at the bottom and you're zen and you're one with the world and everything's perfect. And some fat dude, like, there's like two other people in the pool and they're like a weird couple making out, and like the fat dude like slammed into me like while swimming backwards while I was in my zen moment, and it really bummed me out. But you guys didn't care about that, and I really shouldn't either.
Chapter number 14. Yeah. It's chapter 14. Steel Reserve. The lake was shallow for only a few feet. Then the lake bottom gave way in a steep drop. I kicked hard, pushing myself away from the other swimmers. Then I pulled myself upright, lowering my feet. Yes, I dropped my hands to my sides and let myself sink. Down, down. I opened my eyes as I dropped to the lake bottom. I saw only green. 420! Waves of pale light shimmered through the green. I'm floating inside an emerald. Emerald, not inside emerald. She's not like, bam, I'm floating. I thought, floating down. Down in a sparkling green jewel. I pictured the tiny emerald on the ring Mom wore every day. Her engagement ring. I thought about Mom and Dad. Thought about how sad they'd be if I really did drown.
I got my engagement ring custom made by my girlfriend, fiance's favorite jeweler. I just want to see how tight I am.
We never should have sent Sarah to that water sports camp, they would say. My feet hit the soft lake floor. A bubble of air escaped my mouth, like in the underwater levels of Sonic 2. I pressed my lips tighter, holding the air inside. I slowly floated up toward the surface. I closed my eyes. I kept my whole body still to make it look as if I'd drowned. I pictured the horror on Lisa's face when she saw my body floating so still. Floating under the water. My hair bobbing on the surface. I almost laughed when I thought of Liz leaping into the lake to rescue me. Having to get her crisp, white tennis shorts wet. I forced myself to remain still. I shut my eyes even tighter and thought about Brianna, Meg, and Jan. They'll feel so guilty. They'll never forgive themselves for the way they treated me.
What about the way you treated them, where you walked in, yelled at them to move, didn't wait for them to respond, then filled their bed with spiders? What about that, bitch?
After my close call, they'll see how mean they were. And they'll want to be best friends with me. That's how you get best friends. We'll all be best friends and we'll have a great summer together.
So creepy.
My chest began to feel tight. The back of my throat began to burn. I opened my lips and let out a few more bubbles of air, but my throat still burned and so did my chest. I floated face down. I kept my legs stiff and let my arms hang loosely at my sides.
Hang loose, brada.
I listened for shouts of alarm. Someone must have spotted me by now. I listened for cries of help, for kids calling Liz, but I heard only silence. The heavy silence you hear when you're underwater.
Hey, you guys want to play a pool game that me and my friends play? The game is called Hello, it's Dolphin, who's this? That's the name of it. You all go underwater, so like, you know, four or five people, and listen closely, and you have three tries, and someone yells something out, and you all try to guess what they say. The game's called Hello, Dolphin, Who's This? Or sorry, Hello, it's Dolphin, Who's This? That's our game. We play it a lot. It's surprisingly fun. Now you guys can play it.
I let out another bubble of air. My chest really hurt now. It felt about to explode like some sort of weird hentai chest. I opened my eyes. Was anybody nearby? Was anyone coming to rescue me? I saw only green. Where is everyone?
I wondered. Liz must have spotted me by now. Why isn't she pulling me up out of the water? I pictured her again, in her white tennis shorts. I pictured her tan arms, and her long, luxurious legs, and her bust. Wow! I pictured her red hair, on top and bottom. Liz, where are you? Liz, don't you see me drowning here? You said you'd keep an eye on me, remember? I can't stay under much longer. My chest is ready to explode. My whole body is tingling, burning. My head feels like it's about to pop open. Can't anyone see me here?
I feel like that's something I shouldn't yell so the neighbors are like, yes, we see you. Stop yelling about goosebumps, asshole.
A wave of dizziness swept over me. I shut my eyes, but the dizziness didn't go away. I pushed out the rest of the air in my lungs. No air, I thought. No air left. My arms and legs ached. My chest burned. With my eyes closed, I saw bright yellow spots. Dancing yellow lights, they grew brighter, brighter. They did a fast, furious dance all around me.
Really? Fast, comma, furious? Apparently Paul Walker, you know, before he killed himself out of embarrassment from stealing from R.L. Stein, stole from R.L. Stein.
God damn, everything's stolen from him. Around my burning, tingling body, my chest exploding, exploding! I'm so cold, I realized. Suddenly, I felt so cold. The dancing, darting, yellow lights grew brighter. Bright as spotlights. Bright as flashbulbs. Flashing in my eyes, flashing around my still, cold body. I shuddered from the cold. Yeah, it's called Camp Cold Lake or some shit. Obviously, it's cold, idiot. Shuddered again. Cold, thick water filled my mouth. I've stayed under too long, I realized. No one is coming. No one is coming to save me. Too long, too long! I struggled to see, but the lights were too bright. Can't see, can't see! I swallowed another mouthful of water. Can't see. Can't breathe. I can't stay under any longer. I can't wait any longer. I struggled to raise my head out of the water, but I felt so heavy. It weighed a ton, like an Uzi. Can't stay down. Can't breathe. With a burst of strength, I moved my shoulders, pulled them up, hoisted up my head. So heavy, like the head from MTV Presents, what is it, Oddworld? MTV's Oddworld, the big head? Fuck, I ruined the flow. My hair filled with water. My hair so heavy. The water running down my face, over my eyes. I turned to shore, squinted through the bright, darting lights. Squinted hard through the water running down my face. Squinted. No one there. I turned again. My eyes searched the water. No one there. No one swimming. No one on the shore. Where is everyone? I wondered, shivering, shuddering. Where did everyone go? End of chapter, or part one. Not chapter, part. Half of the book. Oh, wow, did she die? That would be rad if she was the girl on the cover that was like a skull rising up out of the water. And she died, and she's going to come back and haunt him because she was a bitch. I bet that's how most ghosts are. Ghost like, I haunted a place because someone did him wrong, and it's like, nah, it turns out the ghost was actually just an asshole, and everyone didn't like him in the first place. Anyway, I answered like 2/3 of the questions from the Strange Kids Club magazine on here. I'll probably write them up tomorrow at work, honestly, because I gotta edit this and mix it down, and edit the files, and upload it. There's a lot of shit to do, so anyway, I'm Dune. This is Dune Reads Goosebumps. Apparently I'm going to Vegas in like a day and a half. That's cool. I'm working on wedding planning. Guess how many of you are invited? Of the people that actually listen, I think just Gio, Nick, Kevin, and Caesar's a maybe. Not because he's brown, don't get me wrong, but just because, like, I've only hung out with him in real life, like, what, 3 times? You know? It's not a lot. Anyway, I'm Dune. This is Dune with Goosebumps, and you guys should all stay spooky, bitches.